Well, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that God is presenting to us in this season of our church history. And what I told the folks in the first service is that I'm going to be speaking directly to the teenagers in the second service. And so that's what I'm about to do, and I am going to ask the rest of you to listen in to my message for our teenagers, because they've been out of the adult service for quite some time. And before we set you guys back to your youth service, I want you guys to hang out with us for a few weeks, and I'm actually going to use this teaching technique, teach directly to you and let the adults listen in. For the following reasons, and I'll begin right now. We've got a unique philosophy of ministry. In other words, we have a unique way that we as a church approach doing church. We are actually exactly the average-sized church in America. The average church, statistics tells us, is between 80 and 100 people, and that's exactly our size church, between 80 and 100 people. Here's a big difference. In 99 out of every one of those 100 churches, there's only one pastor. There's just the pastor. That's it. And in 99 of those 100 churches, the vision that they have as a church is just the pastor does everything from preaching the message on Sunday morning to everyone, to helping Joe fix the sink on Tuesday mornings and kind of do everything for everyone. And there's not a real vision to reach the community. It's just whoever God brings to the church, that pastor will take care of. And here's what the youth ministry looks like. There's somebody in the church that is just has a really good heart and will volunteer to help out with the youth however they can. Whatever time they have. And in fact, that's the same way the worship or the music ministry looks in 99 out of every 100 of those average churches. There's just a wonderful-hearted person like Joyce, Mrs. Crack, who plays the piano, who's willing to volunteer to help out to be of service. But we have a significantly different vision for ministry. We have a significantly different hope. Rather than to just do church on Sunday mornings, we really want to make a difference in the community. We really want to impact the community for Jesus. And what I want to do right now for you guys, or actually, I'm excited to get to the whiteboard, but let me back up here. What that means in terms of making a difference for Jesus in the community is that we have no desire to remain the same as we are right now. Why? Because as much as we love you guys, we know there are other students at the local middle schools and high schools that Jesus loves just as much. And as much as we are so thankful for you, we are also aware that God has a desire for many other students to be able to have the same privilege that you guys do to be a part of Willow Spring Church. So here's a harsh or a hard reality in all of this. When I came to Willow Spring Church 5.5 years ago, the church had 25 people. Okay? If now 5.5 years later, if we still had those same 25 people, you would have never met Pastor Darren. You would have never met Pastor Zach because we wouldn't have him. And you would have never met Pastor Sam because we wouldn't have him. In fact, if we were the same 25 people that we were 5.5 years ago, we would no longer have me. And the reason for that is because I was not brought on as a pastor just to care for those same 25 people. Does that make sense? That's one of my jobs. That's one of the important privileges that I have, is to care for those 25 and to shepherd them, but not just that, because as a church, Willow Spring Church, we believe what the Bible says about church ministry. And we could liken it to this. God loves me and He loves you right where you're at, right where we're at. He loves you. There's no conditions. You can't do anything bad to make Him love you less. You can't do anything so good to make Him love you more. He loves you and He loves me right where we're at. But He also loves us too much to leave us here. And so what I want to do for you guys is I want to show you on this whiteboard, just going to take about 5 minutes, to show you the teaching back in 2004. Allie, you were 9. Jen, you were 8. The very first year we came here, the teaching that changed this church forever. It revolutionized the church. When I was done with it, 3 families immediately left the church. But also when I was done with it, the church tripled in its income. One Sunday, one teaching, just like that. This was November of 2004, for the rest of you all who are listening in. And what I taught at that time, and for those of you who can't see the whiteboard, I apologize, but this teaching is for them. You can hear me well enough, so you can listen in. I called it the 5 T's of giving. And what this teaching does is it exposes the 5 kinds of people that are in this room right now. In fact, it's the 5 kinds of people that are in every church right now this morning. There are 5 kinds of people. And so I came up with the 5. Each one starts with a T. Okay? So number 5. And in fact, I'll number them right now. And the reason I'm showing you this is so that you'll understand why we were blessed to have Pastor Darren for 2 years, but so that you'll also understand why we don't have him anymore. This teaching will explain that. Okay? The 5th type of person in the church today, both this room right now and in all churches, starts with a T, those are the takers. Okay? Now, the takers are very important. The adults have heard me say many times that we don't want anybody to feel like they ever have to lift a finger or give a dime or a dollar to receive all that we have to offer as a church, because, as I just said, the love of Jesus doesn't require money. And the love of Jesus doesn't require action or what we can do for Him. God loves us as we are. We never have to give Him a dollar. We never have to do anything for Him. We want people to know that. And so that's a very natural place to be when you start out. But the hope is that there will be a progression upward here. And that's what I want to show you guys, because it's one thing, you know, if you're, you know, it's your first 6-12 months at the church. But if after 10 years you're still at this level, then I would suggest there's something wrong with the teaching that's coming from the pulpit. So the second kind, the second T, these are the talkers. Now, these are the same as the takers. They just lie about it. Okay? So enough said on that. You could see how some people left the church as a result of this one. Okay? But remember, we're going up here, and there's another group, and this is a really large group. It's probably the largest. Well, we know from statistics in America, this is what I'm about to show you, is the largest group of people types that start with a T in reference to giving that there are, and these are the tippers. And they treat God like a waiter or a waitress. You know how we, you know how if mom, if they're really nice, she wants to give them the full 20%. All I care about, keep my iced tea glass full. The majority of people treat God that way. Now, we got to put a line here, and I'll explain it to you in a minute, why the line. But I'm getting to how we were so blessed. Remember, a church our size typically doesn't have, only 1 out of 100 has any more than 1 pastor. And yet, we have 3 pastors, and just a couple weeks ago we had 4. Because there is a group of mature Bible-believing Christians in the church today that believe what the Bible says about money, and these are called the tithers. Now, here's what's amazing about what the tithers can do. At the church builders meeting this afternoon, I'm going to be sharing an incredible testimony. Earlier in this year, as some of you know, we had a group of five families come. You know, there were 23 folks come, and then they left. And God replaced them with two other families. Those two families give more to the church than the entire group of the other 23. And that's because the two families are tithers. And this is really serious. This is what the average pastor will not say in front of a crowd like this. The Bible teaches that everybody under this line is cursed. That's not me. That's what the Bible says. And not only that, but it gets worse. Everybody under this line is cursed for a very practical reason, because they're stealing from God. Now, there's a level even higher than the tithers, and that's how Darren was able to be here for 2 years. And I had to come up with something that started with a T, right? So I call them Transformers. These are the people who are mature Christians, and they're totally bought into what the Bible teaches about money and what the Bible teaches about giving. They understand that actually the tithe isn't theirs anyway. The tithe is a return to God. That's what the Bible teaches, a return to what is His. But then above and beyond that, with the other 90% of our income that God entrusts us with, we have the opportunity to take part in offerings that we control, that we can choose if we feel led by God. And so 2 years ago, because we felt so strongly that God was bringing Pastor Darren to us, I presented to all of these folks the possibility, could they make a 2-year sacrificial commitment to bring Pastor Darren on board? It would have to come from above and beyond the tithes, because the tithes are what keeps the lights on. The tithe is what enables us to have a full-time pastoral staff. The tithe is where we get the money to pay for the paper, to make the bulletins. That's how the church operates. And we had about 15 people give $80,000, $40,000 per year for Pastor Darren's salary above and beyond. And that's how this church was blessed with Pastor Darren. It's actually how this church is currently blessed with Pastor Zach as well. So now, Pastor Darren was overseer of both the youth and the young adults. I'm hopeful that you youth will stick around for the church builders meeting, because I'm going to be talking about where do we go from here with regard to what's going to happen with you guys. But there are a couple other things that I want to make sure that you guys understand about the reality of church, because you're right in that place now where you're in transition. You're no longer a child, but you're not yet an adult, and you're transitioning there. And so that's why I met with you two Wednesdays ago, out of respect for you guys, because of the decisions that adults are making that are impacting your lives. But there's a couple other things that I wanted to make sure that you were aware of. Did you pick up on the harsh reality of what I said, that if the church was still the same as it was when I came 5.5 years ago, that I wouldn't be here? And the reason why is because I wasn't just hired to care for the people that existed. Do you remember that? That a part of the reason I was brought on board was to train us, if we will, to be like Jesus and to represent Him. And to be like Jesus is to represent Him outside of these four walls. Now, I want to let you in on some things about these adults. When I came here, it was kind of rough. It was kind of rough. I want to give you three examples about the adults that were here. Do you hear Mr. Austin laughing? He's really get a kick out of this because we were like this when we were working through those early days. And he'll relate. I'm going to speak generally, but he knows specifically about all of these. In that first year, I was really gung-ho about talking about our mission statement. Get to know Jesus and represent him. That means, you know, I want to tell you, that group, they were very incredibly loving, as they still are. They're the foundation of the love that exists in this church. I can be so bold as to say every single visitor who's here for the first time has already experienced the amazing loving spirit, as you guys know, that is in this place. And it was those original 25 people that had that foundational spirit that exists to this day. But some hard things had happened. There was a lot of wounding. And I brought the teaching that we want to become healthy. And one of the evidences of health is that healthy things grow. Okay, not all growth is healthy. You know, cancer is a growth, and that's not healthy. But all healthy things grow, and immediately a hand went up. I don't want to grow. I don't want to grow. Who just said who said that? I'm really tempted right here. Anyway, forget what Mr. Searle just said. I said, you know, I understand that, right? Because there was so much love there, and that's human nature to like things as they are. But here's what I said to that person. What if we had said that right before you came? Do you follow me? That was my response. If the person who said, I don't want to grow, if we had taken that approach right before they came, then they wouldn't have had the opportunity to be on board. And so the question is, at what point do we say, okay, we're big enough? And the answer is this. I teach the adults all the time. We don't want to be a small church, and we don't want to be a large church. We just want to provide an environment where Jesus can grow the church however he wants. Because that's what the Bible says. That's what you always hear from me. The answer to why we do anything is because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I will maintain my church. He didn't say, I will provide fellowship for the people that we already have. He said, I will build my church. And that's building on the inside, and that's building on the outside. So that attitude was there when I first came. I burned it out of the church. I just burned that attitude out. You know why? Because it's not biblical, and the heart of those 25 people were absolutely sincere. Absolutely sincere. And that is why the church has grown three or four times since then. Because, and here's a great statement, if you remember nothing else. If all of us could say the following, that's all that would ever be necessary. If all of us could say this, somebody else is here this morning because of me. If all of us could say that, then Jesus would truly have an environment where he could make the church exactly. And you understand, you follow that? Because if somebody else is here because of me, and I transfer that discipleship into them, then somebody else will be here because of them. You follow? And so on. That's what true discipleship is. I call it the grandparent principle. We know we've truly transferred the ability to have a child to our mom, to a daughter, when the grandchild comes. There was a second thing that happened, honest to God. Praise the Lord that the row back here has changed. This is what happened. Catherine invited a friend, went to sit down in this row, and the friend was told, you can't sit there. That really happened. You can't sit in this row. So offended was the person that they got up and left. So angry was I that I had a meeting with that person right after, and I explained to them that they no longer have the right to attend this church. Or rather, I said, you no longer have the privilege to attend this church until you go apologize to that person. You guys can relate to how devastating that would be. And this really happened to Catherine. She's right back there. This really happened. She had the courage to bring her friend, like we're teaching everybody to do, and the friend gets treated badly? No, that's not like Jesus. That has nothing to do with Jesus. And here's the beauty of the end of the story. The person who did this is one of my best friends now in this church. One of the great members of this church. This person, it was just a mistake. We all make mistakes. All of us. Allie, Jen, you know I've made stupid mistakes. But it's not so much being a good Christian. It's not so much about making mistakes. We will all make mistakes. It's how we handle the mistakes we make. What we do with them. And that's never happened again. Because I won't allow it to happen without people being held accountable for what we do. Because we are different. We're not a social club. We're not just a service club. We like to serve our community as a reflection of our service to Jesus. But we are truly serious about representing Jesus. One other story, and believe me, I got a lot of them, but I'm just for the sake of... See, you hear Sam laughing again like that? I got a lot of them, believe me. When I came here, there was a Sunday school teacher who had a bad temper and yelled at the kids. And I wouldn't accept that. And it was really sad because this person was incredibly loving, a wonderful person in process, just like we all are. But what's important about understanding for you as teenagers, for all of these adults, for me as the pastor, is nobody has the right to be a part of Willow Spring Church. It's a privilege to be a part of Willow Spring Church. If somebody out there thinks they have the right, but they're going to come in here and hurt one of you, not on our watch, not with this leadership. That's not going to be allowed to happen. And that's the essence of what I wanted to speak to you guys about, is that's my primary role, is to protect the environment. And with our philosophy of ministry, the way we do it, what is critical is that when I'm here with the adults and you guys are over in the youth service and the children are over there, what is critical is that I know the same teaching that's happening here is happening over there, is happening in the children. That's the only way our philosophy of ministry, that's the only way our approach to the way we do church will work. So having said that, I want to show you one thing in the Bible. And you can all turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So this is the practical application. This is the what? Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? What I'm convinced of is that we're going to regroup, rebuild. You'll hear some exciting stuff in the church builders meeting this afternoon. But I feel like God is leading me to take advantage of this time and to have you guys in with me for a few weeks. As tough as that is, I realize. before we cut you loose back to the youth service. But what I want you guys to do is to, when we cut you loose, to make sure that we're all on the same page. And that exactly whatever's happening over in the youth service on Sunday mornings is the same thing that's happening in the children's ministry on Friday nights, is the same thing that's happening with the youth group outreach on Wednesday nights, which is the same thing that's happening on the adults on Sunday mornings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they're having a problem. It's a church. Paul is writing to the church in the city of Corinth, and they've got a problem, and Paul comes back, and he's trying to fix the problem. And in verse 6, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he clarifies. He says, I planted, they were arguing about who was the better leader, this guy named Apollos or this guy named Paul. And this is how immature they were back in Corinth. They're saying, I like Apollos better. I like Paul better. And Paul comes in and says, stop this nonsense. Let me teach you correctly. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. That's critical. That's critical. The understanding of your job description as teenagers in school is the same as my job description or any adult in here. We can't cause the growth. We can't cause somebody to come to church. We can't cause somebody to know Jesus. But let's read about what we can do. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And that's the our part. His own labor. Labor means work. What's the work? Watering and planting. So, what we want to do, whether in the youth ministry or the adult ministry or the Livewire ministry, the super old folks, same thing. Same exact thing. Same exact thing. You've got opportunity around you. You could choose to be like Jackie in the Livewires in her 80s. You could choose to be like Catherine in her 20s. You could choose to be like Sam's wife, Deborah, in the middle. We have got folks. I'm sensing that I should be finishing up here pretty shortly. In each case, though, in all seriousness, they're all doing the same thing. They're planting and watering. They're providing an environment where Jesus can cause the growth however he wants. And that's what we're committed to. That's what we have to be committed to. That's the only way we can become the church that Jesus intends for us to be. And it applies equally to the teenager as it does to the adult, as it does to the children, as it does to absolutely any age. That's why Willow Spring Church exists. Amen? Amen. Amen.